closer. And why would I need to connect to a VPN? There's no reason to. I mean, why hide what you're doing, right?
What were you doing on the VPN, Tim?
I'm calling the FBI.
I was watching things you're not supposed to watch unless you pay for them.
Oh.
Yes.
That could mean anything.
It could mean anything. It could mean NFL football games that aren't broadcast in my viewing area. It could mean television shows that are on services that I don't necessarily subscribe to, all sorts of things like that. But I'm not admitting to anything because I would never commit that kind of crime. Thieving is wrong. And so is not getting the vaccine, Nicki Minaj, you dummy.
Oh my God. We started out like this.
Want my testicles to swole up.
She don't want her testicles swollen up like her cousins, man.
Jesus Christ.
No, we're not going to talk an awful lot about it. I just think it's funny that she wouldn't go to that gala.
Well, she got more press out of not going to the gala than she would if she would have gone to the gala.
Right, and she's fighting with everybody. She's fighting with, well, first of all, Nicki Minaj is famous, right? Does she still make music and still have hits? I don't know. I liked her music when she was super popular, I guess, 2010 to 2013, maybe?
It's done. Megan Thee Stallion, she took the crown. It's over for Nicki. She's old. She's out the pasture.
See, but I liked Nicki Minaj because her songs were catchy. They had hooks.
She's a good singer.
And she's a good singer. It wasn't all, you know, auto-tune and stuff. But I do like that she, you know, and so she's famous. But the people she's arguing with, like, does anyone know who Joy Reid is?
No.
The talk show host, right? Yeah, or she's on in MSNBC.
Nobody watches that show except for conservatives who want to get angry and liberals who want to have their, egos fed, whatever. You know, you watch it if you like something and you don't watch it because you want to hate watch it and get mad. I don't know. She's not famous. She probably has 300,000 people watching her show, but she's fighting and it's all over Twitter. And it's funny to see these people fighting with each other instead of just, you know, getting shit done and worrying about things that are important, like how expensive food is now. Have you noticed food is expensive?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Everything is getting
expensive. Everything's expensive. Yeah.
I'm in a Twitter battle with that Joy lady that invented the Wonder Mop.
Why?
Nah, I just hate those things.
Why don't you like the Wonder Mop? Is that the one that you squeeze? It has a little like thing that you pull up. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
The twisty thing. Why? You don't like that mop?
No, that's a piece of shit.
Oh man, we have the old school mop with the ringer, and it looks like hair, like an old barrister wig.
Oh, you know, like the big yellow janitor bucket.
Yeah, yeah. No, we don't.
I like the old sponge with the lemon press on the end of it.
Oh.
Yeah. That never worked, and you should have seen it when I would mop the floors at my mom's house, which was, I think, a biannual event. Every 6 months, maybe, we'd clean the floors, and they would just be, it would be like that fresh yellow sponge, and then by the end of it, it would just be caked with an even darker yellow, nicotine and dog dander and poop.
And the floor changed color?
The floor did change color. The ceilings were yellow, by the way, because of smoking indoors. But Jeff and I know what that's all about because everywhere we lived, we smoked inside. Yeah, you know, we move in here. We're not going to smoke inside. Month later. Yeah, we're smoking inside.
Well, to carry on to that mop chatter, I use a Libman and I replace it about every six or 7 months. I'll just get a new one.
What's it called? I want to write it down.
It's a Libman and it's a self ringer and it has like the flappy flaps.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not like a regular mop. It has the
ShamWow string.
Looks like a doll's hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very flappy. So, you know, they're about like $15.
Ooh, big mop.
I'm gonna start a Twitter war with Joy Libman now.
Do it. Oh, man. Today's been a weird day. I'm tired anyway because I stayed up all night last night listening to Norm Macdonald compilations. Rest in peace. We'll talk about that shortly. Probably the saddest, to me, the saddest celebrity passing since Gary Shandling for me. And that one was big because I loved Gary Shandling. And before that, I don't even know. But shit, you know, Jeff has that same thing because Jeff was always a huge fan of John Ritter going way back to elementary school. So, and plus they share birthdays, which is which was yesterday if this drops on Saturday and you're listening. So happy birthday, Jeff.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
And Steph had a birthday recently. She's 32 years old. Congratulations. I know getting over 30 sucks, but you're not quite 35 yet. You're 32.
You're 39 and then you're dead.
Yeah.
That's all we need to count.
39 and then you're not.
Ivor's birthday too.
When's it? Oh, same day.
Share a birthday.
No, let me write that down and I'll do one of those little social media posts.
I always picture Ira doing the twist on his birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, he texted me and asked me if I want to go over to the Chattahoochee Food Works and get cheesesteaks, but I was like, nah, I don't want to do that.
Why?
People.
So?
Money.
You're vaccinated. You can afford $20.
$20 for cheesesteaks, a little much.
That might be good cheesesteak. You're not Paul Stanley. You're not going to get COVID just by going out for some cheesecake. I mean, I was around a whole bunch of dirty roadies. You know, it's roadies are making out with guys and girls and having unprotected kissing. That's not what we do. Gene and I are adults and we don't do that anymore. Only in the 70s when we were worried about AIDS, late 70s and mid 80s, we wore condoms like C. Everett Koop said. C. Everett Koop was the first Surgeon General that anybody knew and paid attention to. And then the next one they knew was Jocelyn Elders, who said that children should be taught when they're young to masturbate. So they got rid of her. She was Clinton's. And then after her, I don't know any of them.
I thought C. Everett Koop was still the guy.
No, C. Everett Koop's fucking dead, I believe.
Oh. He'll always be
dead by now.
He'll always be the guy to me.
C. Everett Koop and not Jocelyn Elders. I mean, Jocelyn, I like some of her ideas. They're a little wacky, but
she didn't have mutton chops. So
died in 2013.
Not paying attention.
He's alive.
2013. He died.
Oh, 2013. Well, rest in peace. Too bad we weren't on then. We would have done a whole show about C. Everett Koop.
He'll always be our health guy.
Ah, yeah. Speaking of health and mental health, I was going to meet somebody after work today and I had to go to Decatur. So I was going down Claremont and then, you know, you get off Church, or you know where Church Street is. And I was about to cross Scott Boulevard and I was, you know, there's a line of traffic there at the red light. And I noticed there's a guy on the side of the road is picking shit out of a backpack. He has a bicycle that's overturned laying on its side and he's half in the road and half in the on the berm. And I pull up and I see him and I weave around into the other lane so I don't get anywhere near him. I couldn't tell from the back that he what kind of person he was. I thought, oh, it's just one of those bicycle jerks, but he didn't have a helmet or stupid clothes on, so I kind of deduced that he might not be a bicycle jerk. Also, he wasn't taking up all of the road, so, you know, the typical MO of the bicycle jerk. And but he, you know, he's on the side of the road. I get up to him and he's kind of had this like homeless look, so I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna steer clear. And I went around. Well, you know, you can't always tell, but sometimes you can. So
you don't want to help him.
Well, no, I didn't want to help him. I didn't meet nobody. So, and he got on his bike. So anyway, I go around him and I get up to the red light and I'm at the red light and a person calls me to see if I'm on my way. And I said, yes, I'm, you know, a quarter of a mile away, right by that bowling alley where we all met that one time. And the guy pulls up in front of me on his bike, gets right in front of me in the mirror, goes, you're the motherfucker that hit me. What? You're the motherfucker. You get out of that fucking car. You're the motherfucker that is. I don't know what you're talking about. I said, I just saw you back there and I went around you on purpose because you look like you needed some room. Fuck you, motherfucker. You hit me. You let me in that fucking car. I'm on the phone with some homeless guy screaming at me. I'll call you back. Hang up. And he starts walking and pounding on the hood. And he goes, look at, he goes, your mirror's broken. Your mirror's broken. And my passenger side, side mirror is broken, but that's because I can't park very well. And I ran into my mailbox. I have no ability to perceive where things are. I'm a shitty parker. Everybody knows this. I can't parallel park. I can't park next to my mailbox without destroying. I go, but anyway, I said, and then he goes, no, you motherfucker, you hit me. I go, dude, if I had to hit you, I would have fucking gotten out and help you. And then I said, if you don't get out of the way, I am going to hit you now. And he, fuck you, motherfucker. Finally, he got away. So anyway, I go meet with my friend and we have our conversation. And then I get back in my car and leave. About 15 minutes later, my friend texts me and says, because I told him the story and he was also on the phone when I was happy. He goes, I just saw this guy doing this. Was this guy on the bike a white guy? I never indicated. I just said homeless. And that doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying. He goes, was this guy on the bicycle a white guy with a mustache? I said, yes. He goes, I just saw him doing the same thing at a different traffic light a couple miles away. So this guy's a scammer.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just, you know, I'm not really paying attention. You know how you're in traffic, you're at the red light. Hey, motherfucker, you hit me. And he starts showing me a scab on his thumb. Look at me, you hit my thumb.
I wonder how many times this works for him, though. How much money has he gotten out of doing this?
I don't know. I mean, what was he expecting me to do? Go, here's $20. I hope you feel better.
He was probably looking for a set of wax lips.
it was that lady's great grandson.
Hey, you didn't have your consigliere with you to lip him.
You and your buddies make fun of my great great grandma. Give me my fucking wax lip money. You know, we're all over the place, but that's why we call it Radio Labyrinth. By the way, thank you guys for listening. I don't think we do that enough, or I don't do that enough since we're at the beginning of the show. I want to thank everybody for listening and sharing your time with us. You're in your car or at home or doing chores or sitting in your underwear in your easy chair with a fan on you while you're looking at porn with the sound off and listening.
No, don't listen to us when you're doing that.
Well, I mean, you gotta get it in when you can.
You can listen to porn with the sound on and Radio Lab and podcast at the same time.
But yeah, keep your pants on.
No, well, it doesn't matter to us really. Yeah,
as long as you're unzipped, you can keep your pants on.
Yeah, yeah. But whatever you're doing when you're listening to the show, we appreciate it. We're watching the show. One of my old coworkers, an old friend of mine from 96 Rock Days, sent me an email and he said that he was watching the show and he wanted to say, you know, he liked the way it looked and liked the way it sounded. So that's also including you guys. So
yeah, come on.
It wasn't him.
Aww.
I bet you $100,000 he's never seen a second of this.
Oh, I bet you he watches it all the time.
I bet you he does. He didn't care about TV and shit like that.
Oh, yeah, I think that's true.
But I've watched his. So there. Dang it. You guys add anything on here about what's going on with y'all?
Family fighting on Facebook about the vaccine.
And your family is?
And rights. Who has rights and who don't have rights. And
that's what your are family they doing that?
Just it was... You can't post any kind of a meme or anything. And then it just evolves into some nonsense. And I want to say, you're all brainwashed idiots. None of this means anything. And we're all going to die. So shut up.
Yeah, we're all going to eventually die, whether it's tomorrow or 10 years from now.
Stop arguing. Who cares?
Right.
Who cares?
Jeff's all pissed because watermelons are $6.
They are. I haven't bought a watermelon in over 20 years, I'm sure. But when did they become $6 for a watermelon?
Like 13 years ago.
Yeah, they're expensive. You know what happens when I buy watermelons? Like, oh, I haven't had watermelon in a while. I'm going to bring home some watermelon. We each have a couple pieces, and then it's like, oh, time to throw the watermelon away.
That's why I just always buy the thing from Publix where they just cut you up some chunks. You have your chunks, and you're done.
The cut-up ones are like twice as much.
Yeah, you pay for that labor.
Yeah.
Glimmer of hope, though, you guys. When we had the fence people out a couple months ago, the highest quote we got was $8,300. Mm-hmm. And then the lowest one we ever got was $6,200.
Yeah.
But we just had somebody come out because the price of wood has went down. Down. And so they're doing it for $4,900.
Nice. That's good that you waited then. You got a good price.
So I'm just saying, glimmer of hope that other things will start to come down at some point.
Yeah, I like it when things go down.
We all do, Tim.
Yeah, I love it when things go down and
stay down. You're finished.
Yeah, that's great though. That's a huge chunk of savings.
It is. So I don't know, just because it was so highly inflated, the wood price was like insane. So it's good to know that maybe you're not going to pay $3.64 for a loaf of bread soon. I don't know. Maybe.
Thanks, Joe Biden.
Now you sound like my aunt.
I'm saying thanks, Joe Biden. I'm giving him thanks.
And then my other aunt who jumps in and says, "Burr, burr, you did." That's what it all sounds like.
Burr, 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 burr,
Biden, Trump, Trump, Biden, Biden, Trump.
I don't see any of that in my Facebook feed. Again, I will avoid it. If it's a family member, I just don't look at it and keep going. I know my
dad. I just understand how you could be so passionate about two freaking octogenarians. I mean, how are you this passionate about either one of these old fucks?
I will admit that I thought Trump was funny the first 2 years, and I liked the way he shit talked. But I didn't, and I got a little crazy. I've admitted this before, but now he's gone. He is gone. It doesn't matter. Biden, everyone knows, is brain dead. But just live your life. Who cares? None of these people care about you. They don't care about you or me.
Yeah.
They don't
care. It's all a scam. It's all a sham. It's all a charade.
Right. We've all learned that. The Gen X generation said, fuck it. We don't want to have any part of this. Mm-hmm. Some of them are in Congress and whatever, and in the government. But most of them run businesses or whatever. I don't really know, but certainly it's still a boomer world. And somehow they're going to figure out how to live for another 20 years. We'll have a 100-year-old fucking Vietnam vet era president.
Let's listen to Bob Seger.
It's because you'll be 65 at a Fish concert. Ah.
I ain't going to no Fish concert when I'm 65 years old. I barely enjoy going now. Any concert, if it's like in a giant place, I would go like see a punk band with maybe 80 people in the audience. That would be fun. Or a power pop band. That would be a lot. Like Bob Mould with 2,000 people would be freaking awesome to see right now. Get a lot of energy out. I'm sure most people wouldn't be wearing masks. Bob Mould is great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Here's some Sugar. Here's some Bob Mould solo. I think the next big show we're going to go to is Dead & Company. I am looking forward to that because I didn't get to see him last year, but I'm really getting to that point where, I don't want to go to a concert anymore.
There's one I want to go to, that Blue Stones band. They're playing at some little place in Nashville in October. I would like to go to that, but it's on a Wednesday.
The who? The Blue Stones?
Yeah.
What are they?
It was my staff pick a few weeks ago. It's a Canadian duo rock band.
Yeah. We'll go.
That's what I'm saying. It's on a Wednesday and it's in Nashville. It'd be different if it was on the weekend, but
you're not coming here.
All these bands are playing weeknight shows now. I don't know. It's just when they can get in the venue or what.
I guess.
Yeah. It's just the way it falls. There's only so many weekends and they got to fill up the rest of the time on tour. So
is your brother on tour, Dustin?
Yeah, they just put an announcement out yesterday. They signed with ATO Records, which is the same record label that My Morning Jacket and Black Pumas are on.
Oh, cool.
And they've during COVID, they had already recorded, I think, an album. Actually, I think more than one, really, since they had so much time.
Paul and the Broken Bones, right?
Mm-hmm. St. Paul and the Broken Bones. They haven't released the album title, the new album yet, but I'll let everybody know on social media or on here when it does.
I got introduced to them at Mary Todd when I was working down there, the barbershop in Cabbage Town. They play a lot of eclectic music and it was on one of those video channels. So that guy, man, what a voice, the lead singer. I forget his name.
Paul.
Is he a saint?
Yeah. He was raised to be a minister until he was 18 and then he changed his mind. And he was going to be a Lutheran Wow. minister, and then he just turned 180 degrees and started singing like Al Green.
Oh wow.
Well, he has a hell of a voice. If you're out there and you've never listened and you're watching on YouTube, just go up to the little search bar and type in Saint Paul and the Broken Bones and then watch some of the videos. It's pretty awesome. The guy sings like he's Wilson Pickett or something like that. I didn't watch the MTV Awards, but I haven't watched the MTV Awards probably since the early 2000s. So to be fair, maybe late 2000s. I don't know any of the artists. I don't care. I think they all look ridiculous. And I'm not alone. I get less than 600,000 people watched it. Could you imagine?
Everybody that was on there that you knew were people that are no longer relevant.
Right. And they're just there.
They're just there to be there. Like, I guess Machine Gun Kelly and his...
Didn't they get in a fight with somebody?
They started to fight, and then someone snapped one of those pictures that looks like a... Somebody said on Facebook it looked like a modern painting, like a...
Yeah, John Krasinski watching it.
Yeah, he just like looking in the background like, whoa.
What's his name? Oh, yeah, Conor McGregor.
I heard Cyndi Lauper flip somebody off, but that was all I heard about the Video Music Awards.
I saw that when J-Lo went on stage, Billie Eilish gave her resting bitch face or something, and that was a big Twitter thing. I'm like, who cares?
No, she doesn't care. She's still Jenny from the block. She don't care.
Oh, no. I love Jennifer Lopez. I mean, I don't like all of her music and everything, but I've always thought she was cool as far as acting and attitude and stuff. But you're going to say something else?
Just cap on to what you said, that she's also stunning and does not age.
No, she does not age. And she's back with Ben, and they wore masks and were kissing each other for whatever.
That I can't even look at. I'm just hurry up and let this be over. I'm so, come on, let's go.
I do the right thing. I don't do the right thing. You're Van Morrison. He's canceled. Eric Clapton, what a Nazi. Blah, blah, blah. Shut the fuck up. If you like something, listen to it. People still listen to Michael Jackson.
What are you trying to say?
Just saying, don't let stupid politics bullshit guide your what you like and listen to.
Michael Jackson was never convicted of anything.
I know.
Ever.
Yes, I agree with you. I don't think Michael Jackson did anything wrong. I love Michael Jackson. I'm just using it as an example.
It'd be more if you said R. Kelly. People still listen to R. Kelly because they do. And he hasn't been convicted yet, but he definitely is going to be.
Well, we all saw that video or heard about it. I mean...
I want to piss on you. Piss, 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 piss.
Yes.
Drip, drip, drip.
God. But but Billie Eilish. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't care.
Either.
I don't get it though. Don't care. Anyway.
It is because in the old days they go, hey, that old man died. Now they go, hey, he lost his battle. That's no way to end your life, you know? What a loser that guy was. Last thing he did was lose. He was waging a brave battle, but at the end, I guess he got kind of cowardly was what happened. And then the bowel cancer, it got brave. You got to give it to the bowel cancer. You know, they were in a battle. And then, what the And I'm pretty sure, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure if you die, the cancer also dies at exactly the same time. So that, to me, is not a loss, that's a draw. That's a, you know what I mean? It's not like the cancer's going to jump up and go, Uncle Bert's wife, where is he? I won fair and square. This where he works? Hi, name's Cancer. How are you? Where do I... You just throw me to my cubicle. Bowel. First name is Bowel.
The thing I do care about, and really, really was a shock to me, and I'm sure to every fan of his out there, was passing of Norm Macdonald last Tuesday. And I think if you, in hindsight, are a person who was watching his specials since 2010 or 11, or watching him on talk shows or even his own talk show where he would balloon up and then go back down, there was maybe always something in the back of your mind that maybe he has some sort of health problems, but he didn't tell anybody that he had cancer, and he passed away from said cancer. But as far as I know, no one said what kind of cancer it was, right, Jeff?
No, but he was a smoker for a long time, so you got to imagine.
Yeah, and a heavy, heavy smoker.
Yeah.
Eric was talking today on the radio show that he saw him at a comedy club, and he must have been in his mid-20s when Eric was doing comedy, and he said his fingers were yellow as shit. But then again, you know, who knows? It could have been any kind of cancer. But,
it's a classy way to do it, though. Just don't tell anybody. Do the Black Panther route.
Yeah, Chadwick Boseman, he didn't do any. He didn't
do your work and keep your personal stuff personal, and it's nobody's business.
And think of how extra hard it was for him in the last year and a half of his life. He can't do anything. He can't do stand-up, anything like
that. He did a YouTube show called Quarantined with Norm Macdonald. There's 5 episodes that he recorded during the pandemic, which I never watched, but I'm going to watch them now.
Oh, the one with Chevy Chase is especially good.
Yeah,
they're all good, but the one with Chevy Chase is really good. The one with Roseanne, I believe, was good. But it's such a fucking kick to the balls of the comedian that, I mean, when did you first become aware of him? Everybody.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live.
doing the news or and being a well, didn't he first do commentary when Kevin Nealon was doing the news?
What do you mean, like as a side?
Yeah, you know, like they would bring in A. Whitney Brown, or they would do the thing with John Belushi where he'd lose his mind and get angry.
Or Al Franken.
Yeah, like me, Al Franken. I think that's how we got started. But him in that new season when they're all those new people are on in the mid-90s, and the show turned another corner and got really, really good again. But he started doing the news, and it was this weird sort of taking the Dennis Miller approach to the news and pushing it even further. And with his, you know, he would tell bad jokes on purpose and not get a laugh and just stare at you. And he didn't mind not getting a laugh. And that got a laugh. He really made the news great, made that whole segment. And he would tell you right away, welcome to the phony news or the fake news. Yeah, welcome to the fake news. And you know, back then I didn't really know an awful lot about him other than that, but I've been for the last, I don't know, I'm really got to say since that YouTube show started, which was what, 2011 or 2012.
Yeah.
I've just been kind of obsessed watching compilation videos. There's hundreds of them online of him on talk shows, of him on the radio, on different shows across the country. And I learned so much about him. I didn't know that he was a writer on Dennis Miller's show from the early 90s. You remember that syndicated show we did on weeknights?
Yeah.
Like a talk show, like the Carson show, got his ass kicked. But he and Drake, what was his name? Sather?
Drake Sather, yeah.
Drake Sather. They both sounded kind of the same and had the same kind of delivery. Were partners, wrote on that show. And I don't know, I'm belaboring the point, I guess, but just what a loss. We're never going to get anything out of him again, comedy-wise, but there's still plenty to listen to and to discover. And I hope that, you know, maybe he was writing while he was at home and there's stuff that'll come out. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. And I don't. What's his son do? Maybe his son could.
Well, I don't really know. Do you know?
I don't know anything about him. Dylan is his name, but I know nothing about him.
Did he have a nephew or something that was on?
No, that was Kyle Mooney from Saturday Night Live played his nephew on that show.
Oh, okay. He had a couple of sitcoms after Saturday Night Live, and
Meet Stan Hooper and
the Norm Show. Yeah. Norm Show was I think the better of the two. I liked them both, but the Norm Show definitely was funny. He brought Artie out of the Mad Show onto there, and then Artie ended up getting on Stern. So a lot of the stuff that he did ended up helping other people. Dirty Work, that first movie that he made. He was in other movies before that, but he made this movie with Artie and Bob Saget. Chevy Chase is in it, Don Rickles. Very much a cult classic. I think it was the last movie with Chris Farley, right? The Saigon Whore.
No, he was in more movies before.
Yeah, it was one of the last, yeah.
All right.
But it was available. It's what's crazy and pissed me off was that YouTube has had the license for Dirty Work for like three or four years, and they've had it for free. If you've had the premium, you could watch it commercial free on YouTube, licensed. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he died, they switched it over to rental or purchase only.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Way to capitalize. Yeah. YouTube. I saw that movie the day it opened. I was in Los Angeles for a radio convention when I worked for that video company back in the 90s. And so I was like, well, I got nothing to do today. I was staying in Century City. And if you don't know where Century City is, if you watch that Battle for the Planet or one of those Planet of the Apes movies, I think it's the fourth one, the originals, where Roddy McDowell is the zookeeper who helps with the young Caesar. Not Roddy McDowell, Mr. Rourke.
Ricardo Montalban.
Yes. He's the zookeeper and Roddy McDowell's playing Caesar. That's Century City where they filmed all that in LA. So I went to this movie theater. It was me and two other people, and I saw that movie on opening day when it came out. I saw Norm with my friend Mark. We were living down here in Atlanta, and they were doing a tour to promote South Park. So it was at the Roxy Theater in Buckhead, which is no longer there. It's over in wherever now. And so it was Artie Lang, Norm Macdonald, and then they showed a couple episodes of South Park. I got there. We drank a lot, had a good time. I think during Artie's set, we mostly drank and had some drinks, and I smoked cigarettes and stuff. But then, you know, Norm came out. I was belligerent drunk, and we were in the front row, so I was quoting shit from SNL. And he looks down, you know, he has that wry smile, and he goes, this guy likes Saturday Night Live. But the cool thing about it was he was letting me know I was annoying the shit out of him, and I got it and I stopped. So, you know, but he wasn't being a dick about it. He was just like, yeah, all right, thanks. Still one of the best stand-up shows I've ever seen. And then Jeff and I saw him, when was that, 2016 maybe? Yeah,
at the Improv.
Improv, the most soulless comedy club I've ever set foot in. It's not open anymore, but it was like a ritzy place with tables, and everything was so formula. It was really boring. I like our comedy clubs, you know, the ones that we've been to the most, which would be the Punchline, which, even though it moved out of that old house, that classic place where it was, it still feels like the Punchline, and the Laughing Skull Lounge. I like those two places. I even liked the Funny Farm when it was up in Star Time. But anyway, yeah, so seeing him a couple times was great. And I can just keep blathering on about it, but it really sucked. But I posted something. If you guys want to add anything, please do. I feel like I'm...
Dylan, his son, you can find a YouTube channel called Third Triumvirate, Triumvirate. Mm-hmm. And it is a sketch comedy that he does with his friends. So he's doing comedy and making sketches and videos. So,
wow.
Good news.
And now the fake news. But
I was watching a clip of his Netflix show when he had Letterman on.
Uh-huh.
He was talking about after he died. He's like, I want people to be really sad.
Who, Norm said that?
Yeah.
Well,
there'll be parties later, but right now, just be sad.
Well, mission accomplished.
And he was like, I think my biggest mistake was buying this deathbed.
I like a couple of videos that you can find on YouTube. The one where he's on Conan with Courtney Thorne Smith, and she's promoting her movie with a Carrot Top, and he just keeps making fun of the movie and making fun of Carrot Top, and finally she says the name of the movie, Chairman of the Board, and Conan goes, do something with that, funny guy, or something like that, and he goes, his board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
That's hilarious, just because it totally hits Conan out of left field, and Conan just cracks up for real.
And even though Courtney Thorne Smith knew she was in a turd movie, so she was having fun laughing too. And then the other time, you know, when he was on The View and he kept talking about Clinton, hey, you know, President Clinton killed a guy. I thought everybody knew that. Barbara Walters, now stop that. You're being mean. Blah, 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 blah. You know why he did that? And I didn't know this, but I just recently found out, is the first thing they asked him about is, so you're friends with George Bush, and that came out of left field because he had his picture taken with him once, and he met him when he was running for president. He wasn't even president yet. And that kind of pissed him off. So he just started going after Clinton. I posted on our Radio Labyrinth Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Radio Labyrinth. If people want to share any of their memories. And a lot of people have been talking about, you know, the same things we've been talking about, but I'll read a couple. David Harrison, who we last saw out at Atlanta Pizza in Euro, says his Burt Reynolds on Celebrity Jeopardy was something my friends and I always pulled up for a laugh when we needed one. And a good friend and I also liked him in his small role in Billy Madison, which he was in a lot of different movies too, just little roles and everything.
The kid from Billy Madison posted on Reddit a picture of him with Norm.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the question underneath it was like, hey, are you the kid from Billy Madison? And he goes, yeah. And then somebody goes, do you still piss yourself?
Yeah. my brother Jason wrote his Stern appearances, which they're still on YouTube if you can find them. Those are classic, especially if you can find the ones with Artie where they're talking about Bob Uecker and they're both doing an impression of Bob Uecker, which is funny as shit. And they played golf with him and all that stuff. It was a lot of fun. Dirty Work was one of the most underrated comedies of that era. Jerry Fuxi, who, by the way, is working on some art for us. I think you're all going to enjoy. He writes, who could forget his weekend update when he would work in the fact that OJ killed two people, which he constantly did. But again, a lot of people, the Burt Reynolds on Jeopardy really sticks in people's minds. And that was very iconic. Stephanie Swain wrote Kenny G has a Christmas album out this year. Hey, happy birthday, Jesus. Hope you like crap.
I still quote that every year. Like when there's a shitty album coming out on Christmas, I'm like, happy birthday, Jesus. Hope you like crap.
I still do that too. And I remember we were watching that when it aired and that line came out. We both fucking died.
It killed me. It killed me. I think I was in high school whenever that was on.
Oh, that must have been cool to have such a subversive. Because still back then, if you were into that kind of stuff, you were still kind of cool. You know what I mean?
Was it high school? No, it was after high school. It was like 94, wasn't it?
No, it would have been 96 or 97.
Okay, it was definitely after high school.
Yeah.
But I was still, just young.
Yeah, yeah. You're young and staying up on Saturday nights to watch that shit or recording it. Norm's autobiography was hilarious. One of the funniest passages was where he was describing himself as a boy about to be molested by a handyman. And just when it gets to the part when you think he's about to describe the crime, he writes about a trained squirrel.
That book is a fucking masterpiece. I recommend it highly to anybody. If you haven't read it, you got to read it.
And the Rodney stuff.
Yeah.
He uses the thing about Rodney is he never got any respect.
And he rattles off a huge list of the best jokes ever on Update. Mm-hmm. And every single one of them is a Norm Macdonald joke, except for one, which is a Chevy Chase joke.
And the audiobook is great.
Yeah.
Reading it audiobook either way. But you know, people are gouging that because it's out of print. Someone was telling me the cheapest hardback they were finding on Amazon was $400. So if you need $400 and you have that book, put it on eBay. Jess writes, he told the most hilarious story on Corolla years ago about banging his friend's wife in the pooper while said friend was outside cutting the grass. The way he described it had me in tears.
You banged her in the bathroom or in the butt?
Maybe both.
Yeah, both.
Yep. And there's lots of them on here. I suggest you go when you reach and you interact. I mean, we've been posting a lot more.
There's a ton of great tributes out too. I posted the Jeff Ross one.
That's a good one.
I want to read Emily's because she's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks thanks to her donation to Choa. She wrote, how about the time he got canceled from the Tonight Show for making a producer cry because of a joke he told. Remember that? And Jimmy Fallon actually kicked him off. You can't be on tonight. How embarrassing. I hope. And then I don't know. I think every late night talk show host last night did a tribute to him. I wonder if Jimmy Fallon had the balls to do it after he pushed out like a wussy because some millennial chick cried.
Well, unfortunately, you'd have to watch Jimmy Fallon to find out.
I like Jimmy Fallon. I mean, I don't have a problem with him. I think he's the most likable of the night of the talk show. Jimmy Kimmel. I don't like him. He's infused himself with, like Colbert has. But to be fair, I never liked either of those guys. Never found him to be funny. So
Conan was the funniest, but he's gone now.
Yep. Out of all the modern ones, I think Conan was the funniest. Although I do like Craig Ferguson. I thought his show was great too. But go to our Facebook page and follow us or like us or whatever. And you can also shit post a lot more on the other one, which is why am I having a brain fart right now? Please,
Radio Labyrinth Radio. Thank you. The bots can still spot you in there, though. Be careful.
Yeah.
Jeff, didn't you go to Facebook jail? Or you were fighting with somebody about masks?
No, I was fighting with anti-vaxxers.
Yeah.
I didn't go to Facebook jail for a week.
You deserve to go into jail just for fighting.
And the person was being an idiot on purpose, though.
I know. They're idiots. Let them fuck up.
Yeah, I just wasn't having it that morning.
That's true. So, rest in peace, Norm Macdonald. And we definitely are losing all the comedy giants. There is very few left. But anyway, rest in peace, Norm Macdonald. And we'll be right back. Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia. Did I say that right? Conyers, Georgia?
Yeah, oh, it's Conyers.
Yeah, it's kind of, that's Dustin. That's what you call home. That's where you call. And home is where you hang your pizza. You see, I'm a little bit tired, but you know, that pizza will revive me. I plan on going out there very, very shortly. And you should go out there. If you live in the Atlanta area, And even if you don't, if you live in like Alaska, you should order one. Maybe I'll ship it to you. It is our favorite family-owned and operated restaurant. And they have so many fans in the metro Atlanta area and all around the globe. People come all the way from Pennsylvania to eat there. Their gyros, generously tough pizzas, Greek salads, subs, Greek and Italian dishes are the best anywhere around. Just ask their loyal customers the next time you visit. By the way, they have free Wi-Fi if you want to check your AMC stock while you're in there. Dine-in and takeout available. Hours are Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday from 12 to 9. Closed on Sundays. You can visit them online at atlantapizzaeuro.com and find them on Facebook where you can get specials and updated information about events and things that are going on out there. Mike Hall is a class act dude. We love him, and we've done a couple live shows out there. We did our last appearance out there, our end of the COVID, hopefully, get together, and we look forward to sometime in the fall, late summer, early fall, doing a full live recorded show out there, maybe around Dragon Con time if we can work it out. So
I wanted to bring out his new fancy food truck.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Go into a field.
His food truck is going to be on the road soon, and hopefully somewhere near us.
Yeah, maybe we could do it in my backyard.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it in my house. I didn't say that out loud, did I? No, so guys, check it out. Atlanta Pizza and Euro.
And we're back.
We are back, and now we are going to pivot away from the maudlin. See, I always worry, and but I corrected myself, so I'm coming correct now. But now we're going to do a little thing called Scared Steph. These horror movies debuting in October will have you sleeping with the light on. First of all, horror movies never scare me that much to where I have to sleep with the light on. Do they scare you that much?
No, have you ever not been sleeping
with
the light
horror,
on?
Amityville Horror scared me when I was a kid.
No, I'm not when you're a kid. Anything will scare you when you're a kid, but I'm talking about, oh, Jesus, where is this fucking article? I click on the article and it's just all ads.
Oh, no.
Things most of the time, things that scared me were more things like, as I got older, were like Saw. Not so much that it scared me that I couldn't sleep, but just disturbing things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those that kind of stuck with you for a while. But I don't consider that like a horror movie trait. It's more of its own little genre.
Like Hereditary. Yeah. Hereditary wasn't scary, but it was troubling. It troubled me for some time after I watched it. The Conjuring, you know, and Neil's not really a big scaredy cat either, but I'd say the first time I watched The Conjuring but mostly Insidious, that first Insidious.
Yeah.
We were both kind of like, is that door shut? Is, you know, would you see something? for like a few days, it was the Insidious really bothered both of us.
What was Insidious about? I forget. I know I've seen it, but I forget.
It's like at the beginning, the kid, he goes into a coma.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the little brother says, oh, blah, blah, blah. I talk to him every night. And then they're like, what the fuck? He's in a coma. And then they start to realize, oh, there's some wacky ghost type shit going on here. And then they get Magda as the medium, the seancer, to try and bring it all out. Then all kinds of creepy ass shit starts happening. It's very well directed. Patrick Wilson is very good in it.
I like Patrick Wilson.
Rose Byrne.
Like her too.
Mm-hmm.
The first movie that ever I remember scaring the shit out of me would have been, and it's not a good movie. I recently watched it and even talked about it on the show, was Salem's Lot. But that kid floating and scratching the window. Let me in.
Should be watching Chapel. Wait, it's on Epix. And he just went into Jerusalem's Lot and met with the head vampire. And he's creepy as hell. Not as creepy as the Mr. Barlow, though.
Oh.
I got to say, the original.
Well, now they're doing it again. This will be the third incarnation.
This is based on the Jerusalem's Lot, though, not the Salem's Lot. So,
like Tim's been saying, it's never going to get you like it did when you were a kid.
Right. Never.
And that little fucker was outside your window scratching.
Yeah. And any, like a tree brushed against your house, that kid's outside. Street light comes on, or there's a car like, there's that kid. He's going to come in and kill me.
Don't open the curtains. Any noise you hear, do not open the curtains. Yeah. That kid is floating outside of your window right now.
I watched that movie Funhouse when I was a kid, and that's
that. Yeah, no doubt. or seeing Phantasm. My mom let me go to a movie theater to see Phantasm when I was 9. Bad idea. I've told this story before too, but watching Amityville Horror at Jeff's house and then walking home, and the neighbor had 2 red lights on their garage door opener. It looked like that pig fucking ran the rest of the way. It didn't help that Jeff lived right across the street from a graveyard.
So, our friends do live right behind the graveyard.
I know he did. It's still scary to walk through a graveyard at night.
Oh yeah.
I used to do it all the time.
I know I did too, but I didn't mean I liked it.
So that was the cut through from your house to Stu's house? You just cut through the graveyard?
No, he lived across the
street. Yeah, the graveyard was behind Stu's house, and I was across the street from Stu. So,
oh, okay.
But to get downtown, you had to get from downtown to my house, you could either take the long way and walk up a big hill, or you could cut through the graveyard. So I always chose cut through the graveyard, even though it was scary.
So let's talk about these movies. This is all from Pop Sugar, but these are all the scary movies coming out of the month of October. The first one is Titane, I believe is how you say it. A French horror movie where a woman becomes pregnant after having sex with a car. And yes, it's as wild and weird as it sounds. Is that a yay or a nay for you? I don't want to step on Jeff's segment, but...
Isn't that one the Palme d'Or?
All right, car fucker. Maybe that'll be a good movie. Car fucker. Number 2, Coming Home in the Dark. Based on a short story by Owen Marshall, this thriller follows a school teacher who's forced to confront his dark past after a pair of drifters abduct him and his family and force them on a nightmarish road trip. It's an awful lot to digest. I wonder what he did that was so bad, and why would drifters know about it?
Yeah. And I mean, this sounds like some torture, like they torture him.
Well, if that's in it, I'm going to watch it, because that's a genre of film that I missed, that 2000s, that torture porn. Let's play a game. I'm going to saw your nipples off.
Tape them to your forehead.
Yeah. You have the key inside of Uranus. Black as Night, number 3. 15 years after Hurricane Katrina ravages New Orleans, this Amazon Prime Video original follows a resourceful 15-year-old as she battles the vampires taking over the Big Easy with the help of her friends. That
sounds like a teenager shit.
Yeah, it does.
Starring Keith David.
Oh, well, I like Keith David.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you get the fries over to Beans? And of course, his epic fight with Roddy Piper and They Live is the best fight scene ever put on celluloid. Bingo Hell, number 4, another Amazon Prime original, revolves around a group of elderly friends who, while fighting off gentrification in their neighborhood, discover their beloved bingo hall is being overtaken by a more insidious force. Is it Jeff Leboff? No, yeah. It's a side joke. Sorry.
That might be funny.
It does look funny. Number 5, There's Someone Inside Your House, adapted from Stephanie Perkins' novel of the same name. A slasher flick stars Sydney Park as Makani, a teen from Hawaii. After moving to live with her grandmother in Nebraska, Makani discovers that her new classmates are being targeted and murdered one by one. I don't know. Doesn't sound scary to me.
All these seem like they're on Amazon Prime. As Amazon,
where are they? They must have paid for this article.
A bunch of Halloween movies.
I love that time of year, by the way, watching all these scary movies. But I always watch the ones I've already seen.
Yeah, it's hard to find one that's new that's intriguing.
Mm-hmm. But the lady who fucked the car, I'll probably watch that one. The Manor, Amazon Prime's 4th original thriller for the month, follows an elderly woman who has moved into a historic nursing home after she suffers a stroke. As she settles in, she begins to suspect her fellow patients are under the influence of a supernatural presence. It looks like Barbara Hershey, but who knows?
It does look, I think that's Barbara Hershey, you're right.
Barbara Hershey, yeah.
Oh, here's one for me and Dustin. Lamb, set in rural Iceland, this supernatural horror flick tells the story of a childless couple who discover a newborn sheep and decide to raise it as their own. However, the couple doesn't realize that the lamb was born as the result of sinister forces.
Have you seen the previews to that?
No.
It is nuts.
Really?
It looks like Midsommar.
Abby.
Yeah, Midsommar. Well, oh God.
It looks like that style, but it's a sheep herders and the baby is actually a sheep, but it's not a baby. Oh. It's really weird.
Okay. Is that going to be on Netflix? It didn't say.
Probably Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime, yeah. The 9th one is Fever Dream, based on some lady's novel. This it says this trippy thriller follows a young woman who lies dying in a rural hospital clinic alongside her neighbor's son. However, a wild and terrifying conspiracy unravels throughout the film. Okay. Here we go.
Number 10,
Halloween Kills. In this sequel to 2018's Halloween and the 12th in the Halloween franchise, Jamie Lee Curtis, Judy Greer, and Andy Matichak return to reprise their roles as survivor Lori, her daughter Karen, and her granddaughter Allison. They take on Mike Myers again, who for some reason just can't die.
I'll watch it. I love this one.
I love all of them, even the bad ones. The ones I hate the most are the ones by
Rob Zombie.
Yeah, I don't like his at all. I really don't. But even the shitty ones, and a lot of people don't like Halloween 3, but I think it's great.
No, I like it.
Oh, Halloween Kills. I'm going to watch this. Here's another vampire one, Night Teeth, a twisty vampire thriller, which includes the all-star cast of Debbie Ryan, Sydney Sweeney, Alexander Ludwig, Lucy Fry. I don't know any of these people.
Never heard of any of these bitches.
Megan Fox.
All-star cast. So that's probably going to be a nope for me. Only a couple more. Hypnotic featuring Kate Siegel, Jason O'Mara, and Dule Hill. Hypnotic follows a young woman who seeks the help of a renowned hypnotist. To her surprise, the intense sessions end up having deadly consequences. What, is he banging her while she's out? Last Night in Soho. This looks interesting. The psychological thriller revolves around a mysterious woman living in 1960s London and a modern day woman connecting with each other to experience the 60s in London. And it's more horrifying than she imagined. That looks cool.
Yeah, and that's the newest Edgar Wright movie.
Edgar Wright, yeah.
All right.
I'm down for that one. And the last one on this list actually looks good.
Yeah, let's see this.
Kerry Russell and Jesse Plemons star in this supernatural thriller as a teacher and a sheriff who must face off against a mysterious creature when it plagues their small Oregon town. What is it, Antifa guy? The Shape of Water director Guillermo Del Toro produced this one, so you know it's going to be good, according to PopSugar.com. But Antlers looks fucking good. I think that's probably going to be the best of the bunch.
Wasn't Kevin Smith going to make this movie, Dustin?
Well, I'm not sure about Kevin doing it, but I know that this movie has been put off since 2019. I mean, from the very beginning of COVID, they pushed it, and it's just been kicked along. And the previews look amazing. It's really cool looking. But yeah, it does look a lot like a mix of Tusk and Red State kind of put together.
And both of those movies are good. Is there another sequel to Clerks coming out?
Yeah.
Clerks 3.
Just wrapped.
Yeah, they just wrapped it.
I get that confused with the Jay and Silent Bob. And I still haven't seen that third Jay and Silent
Bob. Reboot.
Good. Yeah.
All right. Well, those are the Halloween thriller scary movies coming out.
Are you scared, Steph?
I'm trying to catch my breath.
What's your go-to one movie that you rewatch every year at around October? Is there one?
The original Halloween, that's like a Christmas story. You know, you always watch a Christmas story one time at least.
Yeah, I know.
The same thing with Halloween. I have to watch it.
Thank God there's never been a Halloween musical like there has been for a Christmas story.
Now that's a musical I would like to see. I would go see that.
The Halloween one?
Yeah.
Let's make one.
That would be sweet. Don't you think?
We're going to make a Halloween musical after we finish.
No, we're not.
That on the end of there.
We're not going to do anything. Stop it.
No, after we finish.
We're going to get into that, actually, because I've kind of been inspired by Only Murders in the Building.
God, that's such a great show.
Get back into trying to write the Syracuse Sam.
I did finish episode 3 whenever he was telling the dog, don't stand so close to Sting.
Have
you seen the next one yet?
No.
All right, I won't spoil it for you. It's like mostly Sting. There's a lot of Sting in it.
Don't you have a dog? Yes. You don't like, and I don't like him either.
I don't like him either. Mind your dog. Okay, we'll be back in a second. If you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, we have the hookup for you. The name of the company is LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. Not Athens, Greece. The one in Athens, Greece, they're not going to get it to you on time. But the one in Athens, Georgia has been in business since 2005. Steph knows the guy who runs it. He's a cool cat. And they have super fast turnaround and affordable prices. So if you understand what we're talking about and that is something that you're in the market for, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
And we're back.
All right. So a couple of news stories, what we watched, and we'll wrap it up here shortly. We already talked about the VMAs and all those award shows nobody cares about. I guess the Emmys are coming up. Good luck to everybody. Maybe we'll recap it if stuff we like wins. There's a couple of news stories. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is possibly going to replace Harrison Ford as the lead in Indiana Jones, which means no one will go see any Indiana Jones movies anymore.
What did she just leave? She just left the remake of something. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, why would
she was remaking it? She was Mrs. Smith. And who was Mr. Smith?
Donald Glover.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mr. T.
And she just left. She left right while they were filming it over creative differences.
Yeah, her and Glover didn't get along.
Well, they're both creative geniuses themselves. So that's weird. Why would they remake that movie? It didn't even do that well when the original came out. Was it only a couple years old, right? 10 years, maybe?
Yeah, the only reason why it did anything was because they were both hot at the time.
Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
It was 2005.
All right. Well, 16 years ago. But back to Phoebe Waller-Bridge replacing Harrison Ford. Kill it. Kill it. You don't need to do this. Yeah, why are you doing it? Just because it makes money?
There's already Lara Croft movies. You don't need a female Indiana Jones.
Right. She could be a new person. She could be Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Jungle Explorer. Who took a class with Indiana Jones and was inspired to do what he did. And then he's dead now. So she's got to go find all this shit. There you go. I solved it for you. Speaking of Only Murders in the Building, they were given a second season.
Very cool.
That is such a fun show to watch. Doesn't take itself seriously. You know what you're going to get with Martin Short and Steve Martin for sure. So it's a fun show. We all recommend it. And if you haven't watched it yet, give it a chance.
Steve Martin with that cat leg. Cat leg out of his pocket. He says, it's warm now. Now it's warm.
It's one of those rare shows that my wife and I watch together and laugh the whole time. I mean, we both do. It's just hysterical.
Yeah, and, it's very funny.
Let's see. Cops is coming back. Speaking about things coming back. Cops was canceled because it was, you know, too mean to have on TV in the woke era. But Fox Nation, which is going to be Fox's pay-per-view, streaming, whatever, they're going to bring it back. So if you want to watch Cops, you can pay for it.
Yeah, fuck that.
Jeff Bridges says his cancer is in remission, but he now has COVID.
No, he's just over COVID.
Oh, he's just over
COVID. Yeah.
He said COVID kicked his ass worse than the cancer, though.
Really?
Yeah. He said his cancer was, what was it, like 9 by 11 centimeters was the size of the tumor, and they shrunk it down now to the size of a thimble.
Oh.
Like with his stuff, and it's gone into remission, so.
Will they remove it with surgery or just
no, it's in a place that's inoperable, but they're trying to just keep it, but you know, keep it dormant and live with it.
I heard ivermectin can cure cancer.
Oh, Jesus.
Eat 7 tubes of it in 2 seconds.
Nay.
You know, I really do appreciate the fact that Norm kept his sad shit to himself the whole time. He didn't tell anybody. I 100% agree with that. It's exactly what I'll do. I'll just go underneath the house and die like an old dog. No one will know the difference. They'll just be like looking for me. Where is she? She's under the house.
Yeah. And then Neil will go, trust me, she crawled under there herself.
Yeah. Please don't take me away.
Dorothy will be.
You see the look on his face when I tell him that. He's like, hi, you will get treatment. Not get treatment. I will die under the house.
Then Dorothy steals your slippers.
Anyway, so, but just even further more respect for Norm.
Yeah, a guy named Don will steal him. I can't wait to get home with these. Goat Boy, maybe not the goat. I don't know. What's the story all about?
As Jim Brewer's just jumping on the anti-vax wagon.
Oh, yeah. He's pulling a... he won't do any of his shows if they're...
Ricky Schroeder in it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Some people would say that if you're anti-vax, you're pro-freedom. And that's what they should be called.
And let's be fair, though. I don't know if a lot of these people are saying... anti-vax, just that you shouldn't have to get it if you don't want to.
Yeah, that's most of the people.
So that's,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Yeah, the only way people can make money off of this is if they create good guys and bad guys. Everything is pro wrestling. Everyone's a heel.
100%.
Face a baby face. Dr. Fauci's a baby face to some, a heel to others.
It's all a charade.
Mm-hmm. Well, the disease isn't. We know that. We're not saying that. Steph's not saying that. I'm not saying
no,
that.
No, it's just being used to keep everybody at each other's throats. Like everything is.
Yeah. It's so fucking ridiculous and so fucking annoying that you have to just say, well, all right, I like that person. I don't care if they're vaccinated. I don't want to know if they're vaccinated or not.
I don't care. Don't tell me you have COVID or you didn't have COVID. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I'm numb. I really don't care.
I'm looking forward to your Instagram selfie of how sick you are in your bed. Nobody fucking cares, Paul Stanley. I'm really sick. I'm in bed. This is serious.
All these venues want to stay open, though, and have shows. Mm-hmm. So they're doing what they got to do. So coming out against a venue doing what they got to do to stay open, it seems bullshit to me.
Right.
I think people will probably be more behind it. And this is from somebody who's been vaccinated, who's going to get this fucking booster shot in a week and all this other crap just because they tell me to do it. And I'm a sheep and that's what I do. The other point is like people still get COVID. You don't probably die from it as much, but is it keeping you from getting COVID? No, you'll still get it. You just probably won't die. Probably. I don't know.
You know, the biggest mistake was calling it a vaccine when you know, it's a bulletproof vest.
Yes.
Is what it is. If you're wearing it, you know, you got less chance of getting damage. If you're wearing two, even less. So
they should have just called it the COVID shot and be done with it. Not the COVID vaccine.
COVID shot one.
Yeah.
Number them.
Like so the flu shot. People get the flu shot. This is the COVID shot.
There's certain words and certain semantic things you have to say in order to be able to do certain things, like mandating things you have to make it a vaccine. If you say it's a treatment or some sort of preventative thing, then you can't mandate people do it. But if you call it a vaccine, then you can. And that's why they're using it that way.
I say just let it keep going. Motherfuckers are going to die. Just let them die and let's keep going.
Oh, harsh.
I don't want to turn into Jenny McCarthy, though, if I get that vaccine.
What do you mean?
I want you to turn into Jenny McCarthy.
Doesn't that turn you into Jenny McCarthy?
I mean, Jenny McCarthy from 1994, maybe. So let's talk about what we watched. I'll go first because I didn't really watch anything. I'm caught up on Only Murders in the Building. Gil's been sick, so it's kind of tough to watch. She's had a little bit of a cold, so we haven't really watched a lot of television. I started Titans, and I had no idea what to expect. Steph, you were right again. And I had no idea it was so bloody and violent. And that first scene when Robin is beating the shit out of all those guys and stabbing them. I like the way the story's being told. The characters are good. So I don't know how Jeff said it last week. I don't know how we slept on it, but it's a great show.
Yeah, I like it. I towards the end of season one, it's a little bit Magoo for me, but I'm going to keep going with it because I've heard that it gets better in two and then three.
Crashing into people?
Huh?
You said it gets Magoo, so.
Let's just see. I don't know. It's just like
our guy from Blood Drive is in it too, playing the Hawkman.
Oh, that's right. I wonder where I knew that guy from.
And I realized where we missed it from because it started out on the DC channel, the DC network. That they had, and then when that got ported over to HBO Max, that's when it became kind of available to us. But that was already into season two, I guess.
Well, it's good. I also watched the first What If with Captain Carter. That was really well done and good too. Have you guys?
All those have been fun. I like the What If Black Panther became Star-Lord.
Yeah,
that was touching.
Was it good? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, and it was Chadwick Boseman doing the voice. So,
oh, that's cool.
It was like his last thing.
All right. Well, I'll keep watching it then. I did not watch it because of the next couple episodes. I just was like, oh, this is really good. I'm going to have to keep watching it. I started rewatching I started rewatching the Venture Brothers just because it's fun. And my staff pick is this week's episode of Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. Kevin Pollak is the guest. Love Kevin Pollak. He's a good actor, funny comedian. He does really good impressions. And he tells a lot of really good Peter Falk stories. So if you like Peter Falk and you like Gilbert Gottfried and you like Kevin Pollak, listen to the podcast.
Hey, him and Norm were big poker players.
I didn't know that. Yep. I know Norm was a poker player. I didn't know Kevin was.
Yeah.
Watched Last Man per Jeff's recommendation. It was Jeff or was it Dustin? Which one of you guys?
It was Jeff.
I'm into it. It's weird. You know, all the men died. I'm into that. That's cool.
It's like anti, what's that show you and Tim watch on Hulu?
It's absolutely that. That's the first thing I thought. Right. Yeah. It's like another Handmaid's. I love Diane Lane.
Oh, she's great.
And she's the president. And the chick who plays the Secret Service agent, she's a badass. I mean, it really does get you from the first scene, you know, when she's making that bomb and the whole thing. So I'm on episode 3 now. I just like started episode 3, but I like it. Last Man. I watched that movie, Kate. I don't know why this movie's getting hate, because I hear that it's not getting very good reviews. And Elizabeth Winstead was a badass in this movie. Mm-hmm. I thought she did great. I thought the story was good. It was very fast paced. Lots of good action, lots of good gruesome fight scenes, and then all of the bright neon Japan, you know, all that whole anime shit going on. I thought it was great. So I highly recommend Kate. I thought it was fun. And Metal Shop Masters is my new competition show that I'm into. Oh my God, I love this show.
Talk about it.
I'm very proud of my nephew Jay. My nephew Jay just started, I think it's Local 151. He is a steel, he's a metal fabricator. And I was very proud of him that he's doing that now. But these guys, they're all artists and they're from all over the place. And they give them a challenge and they got to create some shit out of steel, fabricated or whatever. And it's really good. I think you'd like it a lot.
Is it better than Forged in Fire?
It's completely different because, you know, with Forge and Fire, those are art pieces, but they're to kill.
Yeah.
These are much more surreal and, you know.
It will hold blood.
Yeah. I mean, like they had like this one thing they had to make a grill. They had to make a grill. they had to make a grill that looked like something that looked like an animal.
And then like a grill that looked like a cow.
Well, yeah, but it had to work. And then they also had to have a intricate, some sort of utensils that was built into the design. And then the smoke had to come out in a creative way.
Okay.
And they got to do all this in like, you know, 6 hours or some shit. So it was pretty cool. I think you'd like that. It is on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think we're already almost done with it. There's only 6 episodes. I'll you know how Netflix out. Does you with that shit. And my stat pick is Discovery Plus. I already listened to this podcast, that Chippendales podcast with Natalia Petrozella. She was the host. Mm-hmm. Well, now they're doing a 4-part docuseries on Discovery Plus. It comes out September 24th and it's called The Curse of the Chippendales. And if you didn't listen to the podcast, you missed out. I would definitely recommend that you watch this docuseries because the Chippendales is some dark, seedy, so much crazy stuff happened with the guy who started it. And it's just, it's a wild story.
Okay.
Ever since they picked Swayze over Chris Farley, it's been nuts over there.
It just went off the rails.
Yep.
Let's see. I watched Malignant. I think we all watched that as well.
Yeah. What did you think?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the most genius thing I've ever seen or the straight up stupidest thing I've ever seen. It's almost like it's a new Room. Like it's a new, I mean, I don't know if he was serious about making this a horror movie. It's
so ridiculous.
It's beyond ridiculous. I mean, mm-hmm. Everything that they used was so over the top. The music was ridiculous. But I don't know. This is the first thing that he actually wrote the story for, him and his new wife. Everything else that he's done, he's had a writing partner or he's used pre-existing scripts. And so, you know, he got married to that Ingrid Basu, the one that played the forensic lady with the glasses that had the crush on the cop. That was his wife. And so she, you know, so she wrote the story, and they've only been married like a year and a half. So this, it sounds, it's either like playing up his new wife and giving her the chance to make a movie, or it's a genius move to create this weird, you know, amalgam of all these 80s tropes that they used in a lot of these movies. I thought the actual, I couldn't believe the ending was what it was. I mean, I was floored that they went with, you know, I won't spoil it for anybody that wants to watch it, but Jesus, that last 20 minutes in the jail cell, that was ridiculous.
We kept saying that we were waiting for Joel and Crow and Tom Servo to just like pop up
at the bottom,
be commenting through the whole thing.
I did not enjoy it at all. The last 20 minutes, like you said, was kind of fun to watch, but other than that, I hated the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it was all scared me off from watching it.
I laughed out loud several times.
Oh yeah.
Because it was so preposterous.
Okay.
Yeah. The best thing, if you do watch it, watch how they show the outside of the house like 50 times in all these different lightings and smokes and like all this stuff. But it's a two-story, 1,200 square foot house, like an old Victorian mill house. But when anytime they show the interiors of it, it's got like a 30 by 40 living room, like this master bedroom suite that goes across the whole house. And it's just like, that's not possible at all. It like takes you out
with all the aerial shots or the drone shots or whatever, like from above.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. They did when they were making this movie. I did see a little thing on it where they built the entire house in the studio. And all of the house is built with these tracks on the walls that held cameras so they could do these weird, you know, where they go from one floor to the next floor with one continuous shot. So like all of this stuff was really modern and really cool. It was just like they handed a guy that was so sophisticated with making a movie and making it look so polished, but they handed him a turd to work with. And it was like just polishing, yeah. You know, it was, you just polished a turd up and that's the movie.
I mean, that's what kept me into it was the direction. The direction was good and the production value was so good.
Yeah. I watched Monsters of Man on Prime.
Any good?
It was a story about these robots that are made. The military is going to be testing them for the first time. So they send them to this village to basically wipe out a village as practice. But they don't know that there's Americans in the village. So it was good. If you like, District 9, it was kind of very District 9 looking.
Okay.
But it's on Prime, called Monsters of Man. I finished Stephen King's book Under the Dome last week, and great book. I loved it. The characters were really good.
Yeah, the book was good.
Yeah, I think Big Jim Rennie is probably my new number one villain for Stephen King books. He was vicious.
They did him so wrong in the show. You're going to be so disappointed, man.
Yeah, I've watched two episodes of the series. So I started watching the series because, you know, I'd stayed away from it because I hadn't read the book yet. And yeah, I already seen in the first two episodes, they just go so far off the story that it's going to be, and plus they extended, it has three seasons out of, you know, I don't get how they're going to drag it all out. But I'll see if I stick with it or not. I'm not sure. And
it got real dumb real fast.
Yeah. My staff pick is, HBO Max on September 18th. They're starting Batman, the Audio Adventures. And it is a straight up radio play. It is 10 chapter series of like a noir Batman radio play with multiple voice actors, music and live Foley artists doing all the sounds, you know. So it's
what do they have on screen during this thing?
They have this really cool looking old radio with a bat symbol, like as the glass that's lit up in the center for the dial. And then
they just leave it on.
Yeah, they just leave it on. I think it probably will look like one of those, you know, those fireplace YouTube videos that'll just run a fireplace. You know, it's just something that just loops.
Right.
But I mean, the little pieces that they show in the preview or let you hear in the preview, I mean, it's got a lot of stuff going on. So I'm interested in, you know, in anything. If somebody's trying to revive a radio play, that's kind of cool. So I'll give it a listen. It's Batman 2. So
are they going to make more money on this? Are they going to make more money on this on HBO Max than they would putting it out as a podcast with ads?
I don't know. I mean, it may port over. I mean, if it gets enough, you know, gets a good foothold, I imagine them continuing it over as a podcast. It'd be a smart thing to do. I mean, if you're going to give it some, you know, you want to give it some advertisement, put the first season on HBO Max and then run it to a podcast. But that starts on the 18th on HBO Max.
I don't see why they're doing these audio shows on television. It seems weird to me.
Oh, you can listen to it on the
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's different. I watch TV. Jeff, go ahead. We got to bust through this.
Yeah, I watched 1 through 9 of Titans. I'm fucking digging that show hardcore. It's so good. I can't believe we slept on it. I'm almost through the whole first season. I watched Walking Dead, literally the most boring episode ever. It was all just Daryl talking. And there was one
that exciting spinoff.
One walker got killed, or one character got killed. It wasn't a walker. And you know how they have that in memoriam segment on Talking Dead afterwards? The whole thing was just like this one guy. Ridiculous. Only Murders in the Building I'm caught up on. Heels, you guys should be watching that if you can find it. It's very good. I think it's only going to be six episodes this first season. And Joel Murray popped up, and it's been really good. And my staff pick is Sex Education Season 3. That's that British show with Scully. What's her name?
Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, Gillian Anderson plays the mom.
Okay.
That starts this week on Netflix.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, let's do it. Views or snooze?
Hey, just real quick, Cry Macho, that's the new Clint Eastwood movie coming out on HBO Max.
I'm going to view it.
Looks pretty good. Clint looks pretty spry for a 91-year-old dude. Yeah.
I'll give it a view. It's a Clint Eastwood movie. I mean, he's a great director. I've always liked his movies, but I don't know. The story seems a little overdone, but
yeah, it looks a little ridiculous.
I'm gonna view it.
I'll view it, Steph.
I'll view it, I guess.
News
number 2, The Morning Show Season 2 starts on Apple TV this week.
Views for sure. I love the first season.
Yeah, I did too.
I got into it late, but I watched the entire thing and enjoyed it. I don't know why I didn't watch it when it first came on.
You were watching Women on the Moon.
No, I mean, I like everyone on the show. I like Jennifer Aniston. I like Steve Carell.
Yeah, they all do a great job, too.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I'll probably give it a views just because you guys, I mean, you guys did Ted Lasso, and I waited on that one. So, I'll give this one and try to jump on it early.
And The God's Honest Truth with Charlotte Comedy Central, that started already this week.
Well, I would watch it if I had Comedy Central.
Yeah, you can jump on the Comcast app on your phone.
Well, then maybe I'll probably watch it.
Yeah.
I like Charlemagne. I think he's a good interviewer.
Charlemagne the God?
Yeah. He does always push people, and he doesn't always just take the side of people that you think he's going to take the side of. He definitely asks hard questions.
I'm just going to be honest and say snooze because I probably won't ever watch it, but not because I don't like it.
I thought it looked pretty good from the stuff I've seen in the promos. Like they're showing commercials for it during Nora from Queens. And so I think it looks pretty good. I'm going to view it, at least a couple of them.
I'll snooze it for the same reason Tim is. I just don't, I won't get a chance to watch it.
All right. Well, that's most of the show. We still have one little thing to take care of. We need to talk about the doggy.
Hey, Barry.
How's your dog doing?
How's
the latest?
Barry, he's over here. Can you see him? There he is.
Hey, Barry.
Barry Bagel.
Oh, look at the
Mr.
boy.
Barry. Barry Buggins.
Got a home yet?
Yeah, he's doing good. So we have the Barkville 5K this Saturday in Alpharetta. And Barry's going to run, walk, slash that with me for the rabies. And we're going to do that. The rabies fun K run. And then he's going over to meet this couple again because they texted me today. I didn't think they wanted him, but they do want him. So he's going over to their house and he's going to like run around their house and they're going to see if he's, good dog.
I'll have to do that thing where they don't knock anything over for the first day. And then
if he can at least do that, if he can like not knock stuff. Don't you look at me like that. If he can not knock stuff over, then maybe it'll be okay. But so wish Barry luck.
You can focus. Barry.
You can't really see him. There you go. Come into the light. There he goes. Barry. Broccolini. But yeah, that's it. And if you want to foster, if you want to donate, you adopt BarkvilleDogRescue.org. Wolf.
BarkvilleDogRescue.org. All right, guys. Until next week, please remember to keep it canon. And canine. Right, now we're going to thank all of our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers right here live and then recorded. And then, in a couple months, we'll do a new one. If you'd like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon supporter, you can just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have lots of different levels, lots of different rewards. But the producers, you come in at $25 and up and you get yourself a T-shirt and then you are an actual producer of the show. So you get credited every single week. And I want to start off with our general managers. Those are people who have been with us 4 years or longer. You guys feel free to jump in on that. We have Mr. Eric Malmstrom.
Oh, yes. He just won our big Barkville prize.
Oh, yeah. What did he win?
$3,000 in recliners.
Days to listen to Radio Labyrinth and also donate to Barkville. Keith Tate has been with us since October 2016, and so is Eric. Matt Carter has been with us since November of 2016, and Chad Shepard has been with us since October of 2017. That's pretty, pretty awesome. Thank you, guys. And Chad Shepard is the gentleman and scholar who had the Redbox troll made into a doll, and then he gave it to me, and I think, and I can't wait to scare my child with it. Okay. All right, by the way, these are silly radio things that I came up with. Program directors, if you've been 2 to 3 years, I don't know what I'm at the division. You got Sean Hall. He's a very awesome dude. He just made a big move. I'm not going to tell you where he moved to, but he just made a big move, and he's loving living in the suburbs, the country life. He's been with us since April of 2018. We also have Mike D, been with us since August of 2018. And John Sutherland, who is another awesome dude. Who had this really cool thing made for me. It's, I drew, Demented Don and the Donalds. Donald Trump is every member of KISS. And he had it put on plexiglass, and it's really cool.
Aww.
And I'm also going to put that in Gil's room, in his crib, so you can look at it. He's been with us since December of 2018. DJ Spit of the Hits for up to 2 years or less. We have Mr. Tim Slayton, who's been around since November of 2019. Brian Smith, who we just saw recently as well out in Conyers, him and him.
Chelsea Dubois.
That's right, Chelsea Dubois. Thank you guys very much. Chris Chandler, who's been around since December of 2020. Todd Ellis, January of 2020. Roby Neely has been around since November of 2019. And you can catch Mr. Roby Neely. You can catch him on our show sometimes. He's on Mike TV. And our most recent, Marty Johnson, who came on board in May of 2021. So thank you very much, Marty Johnson. And I want to throw this out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Emily's been with us since May of 2018. And Buck Monterey been with us since December of 2017. Thank you all very much for being producers. Again, if you'd like to sign up, you don't have to be a producer. We have all sorts of levels and tiers. Go to
patreon.com/TimAndrews.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And back to baby stuff.